The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, earlier this week, I spoke to Michael Herbert of Widowed and Bereaved Partners Ireland, and Michael wanted to raise the issue of the lack of supports in Ireland for those who have lost a partner. And so many of you got in touch after that interview to say that that's not spoken about enough and that you feel your voices aren't being heard. And one of those people was my next guest, Sarah. Thank you so much for getting in touch.
Thanks, Claire. Thank you so much.
And it's nice to talk to you. I just want to talk to you about, firstly, about your own story. So how you ended up where you are today. Your husband died in 2023, so 6 years ago.
Two and a half years ago.
Nearly 3 years ago. I had 2026 in my head, Sarah. My apologies. Yeah. So almost 3 years ago now.
Yeah, it's 2.5 years ago today, actually. Yeah, God. Yeah, my husband, we were sitting in front of the fire, and I went out of the room and heard his voice change. He was talking to someone on the phone, and my young fella came in and said, "Ma'am, Dad's not waking up." And we came in, and I saw he was going blue, and he just had a massive cardiac arrest. I still don't know the reason why. There's people walking around the place with what he had in his heart, which was something very, very minor. And yeah, it was just devastating. So,
and instant as well, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine going home tonight, making plans with your husband, and 2 hours later, you're a widow.
I can't really imagine what that must be like.
No, it's just it's awful. It's your worst. It really is one of your worst nightmares. Your world just changes. It goes upside down every night, overnight. You're left coping on your own. In my case, I'm left coping with teenagers. Which is a nightmare. You can imagine, grumpy teenagers, difficult teenagers.
You've four children, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And how are they doing?
It's very difficult for them. My young lad that came to me and said, "Dad's not waking up." He can tell me how many times they shocked him. He ran and got the defibrillator. I couldn't tell you like what they did that night, but he can tell you every bit of it. And then the rest of them, two of them then don't want to talk about it at all. And, you can't go there at the minute. So I've just been told, let it be. They'll deal with grief in their own time,
So while all of that emotional toll is working its way through, and I can hear that it's still a huge struggle, as it would be, it's very recent. You have to deal with all of the other stuff as well. So tell us about all of that other side of it, Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, it just really shocked me. I've worked my whole life. I'm professional. And then you're dealing with this grief, and people expect, 2 years on, a year on, you'll start to pick up the pieces and you'll be okay and you'll get on with life. But particularly with a sudden death, you've no warning, and it's really now it's hitting home. But from a tax and a benefits point of view, it's really shocking. So for start, you're given 5 days, statutory for your husband to die. Now in my case, I couldn't have even organised a funeral because there had to be an autopsy.
So 5 days leave from work. That's the statutory.
Leave.
Okay.
That's statutory, yeah. So, it took 8 days for us to get, to have the funeral because of the hold up with autopsies and that. Then you're entitled to widow's contributory pension according to your partner's or your husband's or wife's contributions. But what's really shocked me is you're not entitled to sick leave if that happens, which is your own contributions. So if you go on sick leave, you're down, and your company doesn't have a sick leave policy, you're down to only what you get in your widow's pension, and you're not entitled to draw on your own contributions of illness benefit. And that, Claire, was changed back in 2012, that you can only claim one contribution from social welfare at any one time, even though you can get half rate carers. So it's contrary, really, the law to widows, mm-hmm. you know.
So one cancels out the other. The widow's pension cancels out the sick leave, so you can't get that from the state.
Yeah, even though the widow's is not your contributions, it's your partner's. And, you know, your contributions are the illness. So it seems grossly unfair to me. Then you're taxed on the widow's pension, which is fine. That's taxed at 20%. But then the 20 to 25,000, whatever you get, depending on whatever kids you have, is taken off your standard rate band of 46,000. So anything in my case over 21,000, I'm taxed at 46 or 50%, whatever, you know, the highest band is these days.
My
so
goodness.
You're being absolutely hammered, and the government will say, oh, you know, we give 5 years of extra benefits, you know, tax, you know, of an extra tax band. But it's tiny, you know, you're going from being a married couple and having joint tax credits where you can share them accordingly to being a single person, being hammered on tax, being hammered on social welfare. Like, if you're off sick, which is in my case at the minute, and you're dependent on the widow's pension, I'm down now to €490 a week to live off.
With four children and one
with
income.
With four children, one
so,
income.
So what you wouldn't have expected is that you would be so much worse off financially after your husband died, which is what the reality is.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I haven't worked my whole life, you know, never, ever been sick, never drawn on sick leave, never. It's just, and, you know, to try, at the minute I'm trying to apply for a medical card, and it's just a nightmare because every time I submit what they want me to submit, they come back looking for more stuff. And the reason I'm looking for the medical card is because I have kids in leaving cert year. So, you know, your leaving cert fees and that are exempt if you apply for that. So I'm just, I'm left on the breadline, basically, Claire.
So when you heard Michael the other day, it really struck a chord with you, did it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and I know Senator Eileen Lynch has brought this up in the Dáil, but the standard answer is, you know, only one social welfare benefit per person, you know. But they're not looking at, I mean, I understand it if you're drawing... You can't draw illness benefit and unemployment benefit. That makes sense. So this needs to be looked at in the broader scheme of things, mm-hmm. you know. And the same for the passport, Claire, which Michael brought up, you know. I mean, I'm lucky. My kids are older. I have one now, and I had to get the death cert last week because his passport is due up, which caused all sorts of mayhem in the house because... My 17-year-old saw the death cert and he was Googling what the cause of death was, and he was able to tell me, man, people don't die of that. But if, as Michael said, every passport application for every child you have to go to, you have to sign this affidavit, you know, which just seems another, you know, layer of bureaucracy.
Well, that does seem completely unnecessary. You know, if you do it once, it's a legally binding document. Why on earth should you have to go and do it multiple times? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you're going in to renew your kids' passports in the morning, you don't have to sign to say there's other legal guardians, you know. Why are you asking widows that, you know, if you have a death cert and proof and you're signing an official government document, which is, you know, criminal to falsify a government document. So in other countries, they take that as standard together with the death cert. You know, in my case, I'm submitting an Irish death cert. You know, I'm not... You know, there's records of it on the state. There's records of previous passports. It just seems more and more and more layers of bureaucracy. And every time you have to deal with this, as I said, with the death cert arriving last week, my kids have just been so upset by it, you know.
Causes further trauma. Like your entire point really centres around the fact that you feel the system is designed for older people rather than younger widows who are still raising children. And the system doesn't seem to understand your position and the position of very many more who are just like you and dealing with the same issues.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, the tax and the tax bans and the social welfare, it's all based on, they haven't looked at, you know, what it's like to be a younger widow and cope and continue running a household. I mean, you've all the same expenses, Claire. As I said, I've four teenage, you know, young adult kids. So all in college, all in school, you know, it's a very, very expensive time, as everyone always says, you know. And yeah, just I'm shocked to the core as to the lack of support there, and the lack of understanding from government and governmental offices as to the plight of widows, you know, young widows, you know.
Well, the more of you who talk about this publicly, and I know it's not easy to do, let's hope the more traction it gets with our legislators and that something will change to make the path a path that is difficult as enough as it is, that will try in some way the system to smooth it for you as it should. Sarah, thank you for getting in touch and thank you for coming on the line to speak to us. A listener says, nothing has changed in 40 years. My mother was widowed with six small children under seven. She never worked outside the home. She was always present for us. She managed to educate us, but I seriously don't know how she did it. I always remember her eating a tiny dinner or none to make sure that we got fed. It is disgusting. The WhatsApp number is 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.